Okay, he told the people there, get lost. Go back where you come from. And he told the sorry, Hashem does not, he refuses. The word me'ein is a very nice word. Me'ein. Me'ein means refusal. We have that moin ishti la bayibam. Mesech the Yavamis. The Yavamis says, moin, my brother-in-law refuses. Miun, what's miun? You learned daf yomi, miun means when the woman, a child, if a child is married off by her brother and mother, someone who's a girl who's under bas mitzvah cannot get married midarais. So the only way a girl, she can by her father, the only way a girl under bas mitzvah can get married is by her father. Her father receives kesef kiddushin. Let's say she has no father, then Chazal enacted that she can be married off by her brother or her mother. I'm not exactly sure if it's both together or it's one or the other. What happens if one of them says yes, one says no? I don't know all the laws. But basically, a girl under bas mitzvah, Chazal did not want this girl roaming the streets because she's vulnerable. People will do with her things that are not proper. And therefore, Chazal very much wanted to get her off the streets. So they enacted that a mother and a brother can marry her off. The marriage is only midrabana. And when she becomes bas mitzvah, she's asked the question, do you want to remain married to your husband? If she says no, then the marriage is off. And she does not need a get, and she does not need any legal document. It's called me'un. Me'un literally in the Gemara means refusal. She says when she becomes bas mitzvah, I refuse to remain married to this man. And here we, and that word me'un in Aramaic is the same word here as what it says over here in this pasuk. But Bilam says to Balak, to the sorry Balak, go back, ki me'ein Hashem. That means refusal. That's a very, very strong word. That word changes the entire story of Bilam. If Bilam would just say that Hashem says I should not, it could very well be that the whole story would be different. When Bilam says me'ein means not just no, it means under no condition whatsoever. Under no condition. It's a very strong word describing refusal. And l'siti, what does it mean l'siti? L'siti is a very hard word. L'siti means tastes to give. Hashem refuses to give me over. This is a very strange expression. No one would write a pasuk like this today. L'siti, to give me over to you, lahalich, to travel imachem. Rashi in this pasuk says lahalich imachem ela im sodim gedolim imikem. This is an incredible Rashi. Rashi over here is saying. Mayor, I'm putting you on your mute. Okay, this lahalach imachem means el im sodim gedolim mikem. Over here is saying tremendous, because over here Bilam over here is saying, according to Rashi, that Hashem lets me go. It's just that Hashem is concerned about my honor. This guy is delusional, out of his mind, meshuga. Talk about meshugayim. I know a lot of crazy people. V'gam ani b'soychem. But this guy is really off the charts. This guy says that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to me and he said to me, you know, if you want to go, 100%. But they have to treat you with kavod. They have to give you, you know, honor. And under no condition am I allowing you to go with there based upon the invitation that they've extended to you. If they really want you to come, they should send you incredible kvod malchus to go to bring you to them. With such an invitation, this is disgusting. And I'm not letting you go with them. Ki me'ein Hashem l'siti l'alochim lachem Rashi el im sodim gidoy l'mikem. You have to have more honor. L'manu sheruchoy givoha. He was arrogant beyond belief.
He left out half the message, actually, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He didn't say, Yomi lo yisei lachim olam, say lo yisei lachim. Probably if Balak had known that, he wouldn't have sent anybody. He said, okay, you can't do what God says, you can't curse them. game's over.
So obviously, what you're saying is very true. We're making an assumption here that Bilam didn't lie. You see, you're opening up a very, very big question. What exactly is Bilam saying? What exactly did Hashem say to him? And what exactly did Bilam say that Hashem said? Number two, okay, what Hashem said to him, is it subject to interpretation? Now, we know every pasuk in the Torah is subject to interpretation. Ayin panim l'Torah, especially in this week's parasha. At the end of the parasha, where you go through all these incredible things that he says, and every single word is subject to many, many interpretations. When Hashem appeared to Bilam and Hashem gave him a message, does Hashem give him a message that's crystal clear, that it's impossible for it to be misunderstood, and thus if Bilam violates what it says, it means that he's just outright disobeying a direct order? Or is there a possibility that Hashem said to Bilam a message which is subject to interpretation, and because Bilam is such an arrogant person, he interpreted this idea in the way he wanted to understand it? Now, why do I say that? Because why is it better than the Kohen Gadol? Chana went to Eli. Chana was davening for a child. And Eli and Chana was doing strange things. She was moving her lips and sound was not coming forth. And Eli saw this woman. He saw something is not right. And he was misfollow. And the Urim V'Tumim lit up. And the letters that came forth were letters that can be interpreted in many ways. Either it can be interpreted shikoira, this woman is a drunkard, she's intoxicated, and just get her out of here, send her off to Alcoholics Anonymous. Or kishera, this is a holy, kosher woman. Or kisara, she's like Sara Imenu. So here you have the holiest of the holy, Eli HaKoyin. Hashem is sending Eli HaKoyin a message. And Eli HaKoyin, it's not enough that he gets the message. He has to interpret the message. And the interpretation is subject to many many different techniques. And depending upon Eli HaKoyin's state of being, did he do an Aveira that day? Did Eli HaKoyin, did he daven with Kavana that day? Depending upon his matzav, his mind can play games with him and he cannot properly decipher Hashem's message. So are we to say that Bilam HaRasha, who lived with animals and was arrogant beyond belief, he's better than Eli HaKoyin? Is there an element in his prophecy which is subject to interpretation? And even though you'll say that Eli HaKoyin, that in Chanami, Bilam, Chazal do seem to say that Hashem gave to Bilam was crystal clear. It was Biasplak Maria Hami'ira, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that there should be a parallel by the Umos Olam to Klal Yisrael. But does it really mean that it was crystal clear at Kidei Kach that there's no interpretation whatsoever?
Yes. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says it, he understood he can't curse them. So he goes the extra mile. I don't know who he's trying to ingratiate himself to.
You're referring to his pasuk.
He says to Hashem, okay, I can't curse them. I know that. I get the message. I dig it.
Okay.
What about blessing them? Okay. So Hashem says they don't need your blessing. They don't need anything from you. No? Isn't that what Rashi says?
No, it's not what Rashi talks. It's not what Rashi says. Look at Rashi back in pasuk Yud-Beis. I have it on the screen. Lo Selech Imohem. Rashi says there's a lot more I have to read into the pasuk. Omar Lo, don't go with them. Period. Amar loy. So Bilam said to Hashem, okay, I'm not going to go. Im kein akalalein bimukoymi. Can I curse them here? Right here? In this location? Amar loy. Hashem said, no. No. Loy sar esa'am. No, you can't curse them here. Amar loy im kein avorechem. Let me bless them. Amar loy, einam tzrichim levir chaschash, they don't need your blessing, ki varuchu, mashal, oimrim letzira loy, like you say to a hornet, we don't want your honey, and we don't want your sting, get lost. Now if you read this Rashi, the statement, loy so'or esha'am, literally, is related to, so let me do the job here. So that's not what they wanted. Do not lo seleichi mohem, which Bilam is interpreting in his crooked mind, and you can fit this in. You know, people who want to be crooked.
What purpose was he going for?
He was going to curse them. That's exactly what Rashi is coming to say. Hashem is saying, Bilam in his crooked mind is saying this follows. Hashem says, you can curse them. But there are conditions that must be met. They must be mechabed you with dignity and the honor you deserve so that the curses are chal. So therefore, if you're gonna go the way you are right now, they send over here. They send Amazon Prime to pick you up. They send some very low level messenger, and then you're gonna go curse them. That's not gonna work. And to stay here and curse them, that's also not gonna work. But it's mashma. If they were to send anoshim mechubadim, heads of state, to take you to go there and curse them there, you could interpret the pasuk that Hashem is good. Now Hashem will allow you to curse them. Now is that really what Hashem wants? So you, Mr. Rapport, you're a Talmud Chacham, you know that's not what Hashem wants. But Bilam is no Talmud Chacham. Bilam is a crooked person, and Bilam, and that's life. People interpret things the way they want to interpret it. People have a tendency, they have an agenda, and as long as there's enough abstractions and enough room to maneuver within an obscure matter, they will mold their ideas into what you have. Lahavdil elef alfei avdol. Look at the Constitution of the United States of America. Every other day there's a big issue. There's an issue. Roe versus Wade. All these issues. So I don't understand. What's the law? What does it say in the Constitution? Obviously, it's vague enough. What it says in the law is vague enough that if you're a conservative, you're going to pass an azoy. And if you're a Democrat, you're going to pass an azoy. Excuse me. You're the Supreme Court. You're a justice. You're a shofet. There's a law. What does the law say? Decide the law. Don't put your negias into the law. Don't
worry. Our school, Rabbi Levine.
Our school is going to say, he's going to say the run of the mill. Our school is not going to go into this.
It's interesting how they interpret. I don't know if Leizer has it also. When he says, Leisar Esa'ar, and you know how our school interprets it, Rabbi?
How?
You shall not invoke curse upon the people at all.
It's not what Rashi says. I'm sorry, it's not right. Read the Rashi.
That's what Lotzko is interpreting. So Lotzko is wrong?
No, chas v'shalom. That's the Rashi. Look, read the words of Rashi. Lo seleichi mohem, omar loy. Bilam asked a question to Hashem. Okay, I won't go. Imkein, akalaleim bimekoimi. Let me curse them here. Omar loy. Hashem says to Bilam, Lo soresom. It doesn't say in Rashi, don't curse the people at all. Bilam asked a very specific question. Akalaleim bimekoimi in this location, right here. And Hashem said, no, don't curse them right here. So you can imply, okay, I won't curse them here, I'll curse them there, but I can't go with you because Hashem says that the people that you sent to bring me are not choshev enough.
That's, okay, all I'm saying would be is that the way our school interprets is, Amaloy, like so and so on, it doesn't say you shall not invoke curse upon the people here.
I have the greatest respect for what it says in the art school.
At all.
But that's not, I don't know where they got that from. Maybe they got that from one of the Mefarshim. Maybe they got that from one of the Mefarshim on Rashi. There are hundreds of Mefarshim on Rashi who very legitimately interpret the words of Rashi, and with the greatest respect and humility to whoever made that interpretation and where they drew that from. And that's the Pashup. I mean, that's a very, very run of the mill, very superficial interpretation, which is certainly true. But your question is so good. You're the one who did this. Your question is so good, it forces us to go back and read the words and to take note that, you know something? It's not really what Rashi said at all. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It doesn't say that. Where does it say at all? There are two, Rashi went out of his way to divide this up into two completely separate issues. They asked Bilam to come there to the location to curse them in the Machaneh of Midian. And the machne of Moah, Midian, I always forget, Midian or Moah, whatever, to go to the enemy camp. And Hashem said, do not go. So then Bilam said, okay, I won't go. Can I curse them here? So Hashem said, no. Hashem didn't say you don't curse them at all. Bilam, therefore, interpreted, according to, in order to answer your question, that if Hashem really will allow me to curse. But to curse, when you learn the Gemara, you learn that in order for a curse to take effect, there are many conditions need to be fulfilled. Location is very important. You know, just like you have when it comes to Kedusha, a tefillah, you can't compare davening at the Kosel HaMaravi and the Aris Machpelah and a Kever Rochel and the Kivrei Tzadigim to davening in your basement. It's not the same thing. There's something to a Mokoyim. A Mokoyim enhances, it elevates the Koich of tefillah. And therefore, there's a basic principle, Zeh l'uma zeh boro Elokim. When it comes to cursing, there are certain places that are more potent, have an ingredient of potency to give the curse. You can't go, you curse them in the middle of nowhere, you're a nomad, you're in the middle of the desert, who says it's going to work? You have to curse in a place of contamination. The place of Midian and Moab, these were people and they're heavily steeped in Tumah. You'll come to our location, that's where you'll be chal. We know when it comes to Zman, you know, we learned from when Bilam actually did try to curse, he waited for a very precise moment. What's the difference? Curse whenever you want to curse. Obviously, Zman, the moment makes a difference. The same way the moment makes a difference, the location makes a difference. And Hashem says, don't go. Why don't go? Because, and here Rashi says, because they're not giving you enough covet. Can I curse them over here? No! Over here it's not going to work. It's not the right location. They're saying don't curse at all. So first of all, you're getting into a lot of trouble because you have a contradiction to the Rashi that we just learned. And number two, where did you get those words? Who put those words into Rashi? If Rashi said lo'olam, Rashi would have said lo'olam. He would have said lo'isar sam, amar lo'isar sa'olam lo'olam. So they are on the defense. Well, the greatest hachna and cover to Art School needs to put this in, because Art School is addressing a certain audience, and like me, and like many people, and when you learn it on a very superficial level, you know, it means lo'olam, and very likely they saw this in one of the commentators. There are hundreds of commentators on Rashi, the Mizrahi, and this and that, and they maybe say lo'olam, but mehecha teisa, we have to go further, we have to move ahead, let's go back, let's go forward again. So he said, I'm not going with you, I'm not going, why not? I lost the place here. Vayavel Bayam Lakam Hashem, I don't know where we are. Back to the Rashi. Ella im Sarim Gdalim Mikem, okay, he's Mamash Meshugan of this guy. And he says, I'm not, and the reason why I'm not going is because who did you send here to me? You send a bunch of Shugoyim. You want to be mechayev me, you send me princes. You send mamish kavod melachim. I want a television crew to come over here. I want the whole world to watch the kavod that I'm getting over here. When you come, you ask me. Lamanu shalucha gavoa. He was an arrogant person. You ever meet arrogant people, Mr. Apple? You ever meet really arrogant people? there are people that are arrogant, and then there are people that are really, really arrogant. These guys are really, really arrogant. They're a breed. A breed to themselves. There aren't so many that are really the real deal. Give them a gold medal for arrogance. They really delusional with who they think they are. And that he certainly got the gold medal. Vlaratza Legalois, he did not want to reveal Shahu Birshusa Shalmok that he is under the authority of Hashem. Ella Bilashon Gasus. He spoke to them with arrogance. He didn't want to say that Hashem told him, don't go with them. Don't go with them. Hashem didn't give this reason. Hashem didn't say that. Is Rashi over here saying that he's lying? Rashi doesn't say that he's lying. It's very deep. There's a lot going on over here. Rashi is purposely very vague. It's subject to a lot of interpretation. Rashi over here, when Hashem said, do not go with them, did Hashem say the reason I told you not to go is because they're not giving you enough cover? He didn't say that. I don't go. And he over here says, Ella imochem, with you, imochem, Elam sorim gedolim mikem lamanu shuruchu gavoya v'leratzel legala shu berushu shal amokim elam berushin gasus. Arrogance. Lefichach, therefore, because he gave a reason, there's a reason why you don't want to come with us, because we didn't send you enough, it wasn't choshev enough. Okay, that's easy. So next time we'll send anoshim mechubadim, we'll send a television crew, we'll do the right time. What does the Targum in this pasuk say? Targum says, V'kam Bilam b'tzafra. Bilam woke up, he rose up in the tzafra, in the morning. V'amani says, L'ravrave bolach, he said to the ravrave. What is ravrave? Princes. Lushan of rav. The rabbonim. You see, all of the goyim, they also have rabbonim. Esav said, Yesh li rav. I have my own rabbi. And what did Bilam? Bilam also had many rabbonim. Look what it says. L'rav revei. Not just one rav, many rabbonim. I have a rav of the weekday minion, a rav of the Friday night minion, a rav where I daven Shabbos morning, a rav where I daven Mitzvah Shabbos. I have a lot of rabbonim. The goyim also have rabbonim. Remember that story I told you about Cardinal O'Connor and Moshe Scherer? And Moshe Scherer walked into a meeting, and who was there? The Cardinal O'Connor, surrounded by bishops and other members of the clergy. And he walks in, and Cardinal O'Connor gets up, and he goes over to Rabbi Scherer, and he kisses him. And all of the bishops, they look. Oh, the cardinal, he goes and he kisses a rabbi. So he turns around and he sees they're all kissing. He sees that they're all very jealous. Then he goes and he kisses the rabbi, doesn't kiss them. So he says to all the bishops, "What do you want from me? Rabbi Scherer is my rabbi." Mr. Rapport, you heard that story before? Or Lazy, heard that from me before? He's my rabbi. What do you want from me? The true story. Okay. May, are you there? What happened? Two of our people, Reb Lazer, two of our people, they jumped ship. What did I say to insult them? All right.
They didn't like the joke.
They don't like the joke. They ran away. Mayor, you disappeared, Mayor. Gone. All right. Let's go right to it. So the key, we come with
that. I didn't disappear. I'm
here. Oh, okay, good. I just want to check your pulse. You okay?
I'm glad I could get the joke.
Okay. Yeah, everything okay with you? You went to the doctor yesterday. Everything okay with you?
My foot ain't. That's what happened. I need a brain transplant.
So do we all. Join the club. We come around. My vassal Levas Pollock. And he came levas. What does it mean levas? Levas means towards. Okay, he rose up. I lost the place over here. What happened over here in the place? Okay, here, I'm sorry. Become bulum bravyam bolak. Izilu. Izilu means go. Le'ar achlin to your land. Are because that's key. Les rava. Now this is very, very fascinating. I started today with you by telling you the word me'ain. Me'ein means refusal, like in the Gemara, mi'un, or really it's me'un. That's not what it says over here in Unkelis. You see, I didn't translate it correctly. And I don't want to translate it correctly. I'm not so humble to say I'm wrong. There are probably other Rishayim, but over here, if you notice, he puts this over here in bold letters. Whoever did this edit, put in bold letters, because he obviously got very excited. Are because less rava. Rava means desire. Is that what the word me'ain really means? Me'ain means refuses. Hashem does not have a desire, kodam Hashem, l'mishbiki, to let go. L'mizal is another interesting word. How come he didn't put this word in bold? He should have put this word also in bold. Because l'siti, taste. Taste means to give. And when you put the vowels in such a fashion, it means to give me. To give to me, to give me what? What are you giving me? Permission? L'mishbeke means to let go. It's a whole different word. Taste means to give. L'mishbiki means to let go. L'meizal imchon with you. So maybe you want to suggest, like we always do, that being that words go have a tendency to go travel 180. Yishrosh yisharesh. So if the word tase means to give, when you take the word tase and you change it in meaning 180 degrees, it means to let go. You give, or it means to, or what's the opposite of giving? Is it to take? Or it's, or he's saying not necessarily take, it's different. L'mishbiki means to release, to let go. Tase is to give, and l'mishbiki, I'm not giving. Someone is taking. I'm not allowing you to take. I'm not allowing you. I'm holding back. And when I give up because the pressure is too much, I let go. So it's really the opposite to a certain degree of giving. Giving is on your own will, you give. Does that mean that someone is putting pressure on you to give? So I give. The Mishnah means I don't want to give, but the pressure is so strong, I let go. Interesting words from Atharim, the two incredible chidushim here. The Me'ein means Hashem has no desire. You know, Shabbos is the time of Rava. Rava really also means love. A certain type of desire that connotes a love. Shalashudis, the Su'uda Shlishit, the third meal, it's called in Chazal, Rava de Rava. The love of the love. That's the expression. The Zman of Rava de Rava. A double expression of love, of desire. Desire. A desire to have a desire. These are Kabbalistic concepts, but it means an intensity of love, of desire. Hashem has no desire to let go and allow me to do what I want to do. Hashem is holding me back. I'm in his grasp. And Hashem has no desire to open up his hands and let me go. I'm trapped. I'm in prison. I'm a prisoner. I'm in solitary confinement. And the only way out of here is the warden has to want to let me go. And the warden doesn't want to let me go. So if he doesn't let me go, there's no chance. I'm locked in. That's how the Targum appears to translate. He's saying over something very deep. I really want to go. I'm chalashing to get out of here and go and do what you want. But what can I do? I'm a prisoner. I'm literally a prisoner. And the only way I can get out of here is if Hashem, not just Hashem wants to let go. And he doesn't want to let go. He doesn't want to open the door. So I'm stuck. Okay, it appears the Targum is a very, very deep interpretation of this pasuk, according to the Targum.
It's totally different than Rashi. Rashi seems to say that Hashem, he saw an opening.
You're saying very good. You're saying is that Rashi, from the way he explains the pasuk, Rashi doesn't seem to translate the word me'ain as a desire and l'siti. Rashi is silent, so it's hard to know what Rashi really appeared. We always had a rule. You know, we learned Uncle and Rashi that if Rashi doesn't comment, usually Rashi fully agrees with Uncle. But maybe not. Ela im sodim gedolim mikem. Lamanu shuduch gevoyev leiratza legalas shubir shuzah shal mokam ela b'loshon gasus. I don't know. See, you know what you need to do in all these type of cases, and that's what the other sefer does. I don't want to do it because it can take forever. Is you need to learn all of the other rishonim. See, we're only learning Rashi and Uncles. We play around. If we would go through the Rashbam, the Chizkuni, the Ramban, and a whole, and also about other Targum Yonason, maybe there are other things, the basic Rishonim, it would open up your mind to again, the Rishonim, not talking about Achronim, talking about the real deal, the Rishonim, opens up your mind to see very different interpretations. And then when you look again at Unkelus, you look at Rashi, Unkelus is very terse, you look at Rashi, you really see a whole new world. It's what exactly they're trying to say, and the small nuances reveal really how they translate the words, and more often than not, there's a world of a difference between Rashi's translation and Unkelus. The word Ne'ein usually means refusal. And the word Lissiti in Artsko, I'm sure they translated to allow me to go. That's not really accurate. It means, I guess, to give me permission. It almost appears that the way we've been brought up with this pasuk is a missing word in the pasuk. What are you giving? What is Hashem giving? Hashem refuses to give me. To give me what? A visa. Refuse to give me travel papers. Refuse to give me a passport. Hashem refused to give me permission. But it doesn't say passport, travel papers, permission in the pasuk. It doesn't say it. So you'll answer, big deal. I'll show you 100 psukim where the ikar chosim in a sefer. And from the context, it's obvious that the pasuk meant to refer to something. Unkelus doesn't have that problem here. Unkelus says the word lesiti doesn't mean to give. Because if it means to give, what are you giving? Permission? It doesn't say the word permission in the pasuk. Who gave you the right to inject into the pasuk a word that doesn't exist? So Unkelus says, Hashem refused to release me. Lissiti, it doesn't mean taste, doesn't mean to give. L'mishpak. L'mishpak means to let go, to release. Hashem refuses to let go, so you don't need to add anything into the pasuk. But the problem is, that's what the word lissiti means. Doesn't the word lissiti mean to give? Onkelus says no. The vowels are not tase, losais. The word to give means losais. So you're saying because there's a yud, it means to give me? The yud makes into me. Who says? Maybe lissiti is an unusual usage of this shorish in a backwards way, which we do very often. And it takes the abstractness of the word and changes into an entirely different related meaning. Hashem refuses to let go of me. Alright, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vayikumu, Sarimov, they rose up, Vayovo El Bolok, so they got up, and they went to Bolok, Vayomul, and they said, Me'ein Bilam Halach Imanu, that's all they said. It says Halach Imanu. Okay, it was a very, very abstract translate pasuk. Over here, let's see, Rashi, there's no Rashi. Rashi did not want to comment on our Targum. They went to Balak. And they said, Soref. You see this? This is explosive. Mr. Rapport, we got over here an explosive contradiction between Unkelus in Pasuk Yudalid and in Pasuk Yud Gimel. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, the word Ne'en means Ra'ava, desire. Less Rava, there is no desire before Hashem, L'mishpiki, to release me. And in Pasuk Yudalid is what I told you in the beginning, is the common translation of refusal. Like in the Gemara. The girl who's 12 years old says, I refuse to live with this man another day. He's torture. I refuse. The marriage is basically annulled. And the Yibam, the Yivama says to the Bezdin, this man is a good for nothing. He refuses to do Yibam, to rebuild his brother's home. So here, the Targum is with the program. Someone once told me, my Rebbe Chaim Berlin, long after I left Chaim Berlin, I met him once and he was telling me about giving me lessons in Chinuch Chabad and Chinuch Talmidim. And he kept on saying that expression, the boy is not with the program. I don't know if that's his expression or someone, it's a very famous expression, but it made an impression. The boy is not with the program. Targum over here in Pasuk Yudalid is with the program, because he translates the word Ne'ein the way it says on the protocol. Sorev. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Targum is not with the program, because he translates the word Sarev Les Ravo. Okay, so with a stira. In the same, the mamish back to back. That's not fair. Bishla, we have a stira between the word Targum and Chumash Bereshis. Chumash Tavarim, all right, you know, you'll say, I'm sorry, say. But at Mamish, back to back, Mr. Rapport, it's a good kasha, no? It's a good kasha? Okay, so we see the Targum is doing a lot of things here. All right, let's go to Pasik, Tezov. Vayosef oid Bolok, Sheloyach, to send Sodim princes, Rabim many, Vinichbodim, and more honorable Me'ela. The old crew was fired, and he sent a new crew that were more numerous and more distinguished. Mr. Rapport, if you were writing this pasuk, what would you put first? The word Nichbodim v'Rabim or Rabim v'Nichbodim? When you talk about, you have A, and then you redo version 2. Version 2, and version 2 is greater in quantity and in quality. When you want to express to your clients and to your audience that the new product is better and improved, and it's better and improved both in quantity, you have a new box of Cheerios. In the old box of Cheerios, we had 1,000 pieces of Cheerios. And in the new box of Cheerios, we have 1,200 pieces of Cheerios. And guess what? The quality of the Cheerios is much better. They're more round. They're not lopsided, and they're made from better quality wheat. Okay, so if you want to talk about quality and quantity, what would you put first? I don't know. You have to talk to a marketing expert. I have a feeling if you talk to a marketing expert, they would tell you that you first tell the customers about quality, and then you tell them about quantity. This new car, it has an engine that has X number of X horsepower. And guess what? The trunk is bigger. Do you talk about the quantity first or the quality? Usually you talk about
politics. In politics, I think the higher level you send, you know, if you send a deputy somebody versus, the foreign minister of the country, obviously it makes an impression if you're sending the foreign minister or even
Quality comes first, like you said. Quality comes first. So that opens up a very interesting question. Why are we here in this passage? It's out of order. Vayosef oy bolok shloach sorim. First it says quantity, rabim, and then it says quality, v'nichbodim, a higher level. One of the cabinet members, not just a clerk, someone, you know, who works for the mayor, me'ela. Okay, that's an interesting question. Let's see Rashi. No Rashi. Rashi's on strike.
Really, I have to leave now. I have to roll.
Okay. Okay. It's 8:00. Okay. Thank you for coming very, very much. Tomorrow, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's no shir. Tomorrow, there is no shir. I'm going to a wedding in Muncie. So I'm going to Muncie and Nursing tomorrow. And I asked him yesterday twice. I can't go bother him so much. So tomorrow, there's a blazer. Tomorrow, there's no shir. Okay? Mayor? Unless they want to give the share, Mayor will talk about the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to have opportunities to make a woman miserable. To make a woman miserable.
That's right.
Let's just do the Targum. The Oisef Oid Balak Lenishlach to send Ravravin Sagiin Viakirin Mi'ilain more Rabbanim. The more Rabbanim, the merrier. That are sagin, more numerous, and more yakirin. Yak, you know, yakar means? It means it weighs more. They carry more weight. Today I was at the bris. We had everything worked out.
Was
Bilam married? I don't think so. He's married to a donkey. He's married to a donkey. All I can tell you is today, I went to the bris.
And better luck.
We had all the Rabbanim worked out, and we were choshei that some Rabbanim are not going to come. So we had, like, you know, we improvised what we're going to do. And guess what? Every single Rav came, plus an additional three. So we had to improvise and make-believe kibudim for these three Rabbanim. And they loved it.
Whatever happened with that Shavasana thing?
Yeah, so he dropped him. Okay, Rav Lazer, we're going to stop over here. He dropped him. He told me. I called him up. He told me, I can't talk to you now. I'm very, very busy now. I'm in the office. I'll talk to you later. So when I find out, I'll tell you all the gory details. He dropped them both, Yishuno. He dropped them both. He dropped Rabbi Dishon. I don't know. He told me, he'll tell me. He dropped both, Rabbi Dishon and Rabbi Blach. Both acts. Why? He told me, I'll tell you all the details, but I have to go now. Not now. So when I find that, I'll tell you. And I'm shocked. I'm shocked because when I got off the phone with him, I was 95% certain that he's keeping him. And I even got a message from Torah Anytime, like I told you. They basically said to me, it's okay, let him go, it's fine, no problem, he's okay, go, let him, we have no problem with him. So I'm shocked, I have no idea, and like I told you, I'll find it, I'll tell you all the details.
Yeah, well, listen, he could drop one without doing the other, because it would seem very partisan.
He didn't send it out yet, no one even knows, the only one who knows is me and you.
Everybody knows.
No, it's not true. It's not true. Totally not true. He didn't send it out. He didn't send out the old one. He didn't send it out.
Right.
In fact, he incurred a very big loss. He printed it, but it wasn't sent out. He printed up the whole thing.
All right.
I'll find. I don't know.
So who's
I'll find out. I'll tell you what happened. I'll find out. Yeah, other people
okay.
Put it. I'll tell you all the gory details as soon as I know. Gossip. There's always time for gossip. All right, Zygazunt, tomorrow.
You know, apropos of what we're talking about, this guy wanted to become a chassid, but he didn't know it. They told him, how could you be a chassid? You have to learn Yiddish. So he said, you know what? We'll prepare you with the answers. You're going to go into the Rebbe, you say, I want to be a chassid. And the Rebbe is going to say, do you learn? You say, zicha. And then the Rebbe is going to say, how much, Biffo? And you're going to say, 15 to 16 hours a day. Biffs is echtze shuatuk.
Okay.
And then he's going to say, you're going to be a good chassid? You're a good chassid? You're going to answer, but not like the Rebbe. The Rebbe is better than me.
Okay, so what happened? Yeah, yeah.
He goes in, and the Rebbe says, the geist of mikveh? He says, yeah. Oh, yeah, he got it. He says, 15, 16 hours a day. She says, alone? She says, no, with my chavrusa. So the Rebbe says, you're a chazer. So the guy says, yeah, but the bishop's not going to see the Rebbe.
So this happened to my grandmother. My grandmother refused to learn English, and she applied to be an American citizen, and someone used to come every day to teach her. To teach her English, she refused. So the end was, they taught her to memorize the answers to all the questions. So the judge says, who is the first here? All mixed up. Who is the first president of the United States? So she probably said, Gerald Ford. Then he says, everything you possibly say, she said the totally wrong answer, because she memorized the answer. So the judge says, you're not ready yet. Go back, you have to go learn. So the person who took it was one of my grandfather's students. So he, and some other things, you know, Your Honor, you know that back at home on the Lower East Side, there's a banquet being prepared. There are going to be hundreds of students are waiting to celebrate that the wife of the Grand Rabbi is an American citizen. How could you deny the celebration of the country? The country, the students are celebrating. An American, American citizen. So it says, okay, fine. I accept. And he made her a citizen.
So this Ethiopian in Israel finds a pocketbook, and inside he opens a passport, American passport of Leonardo DiCaprio.
What? It's a true story?
No. So he finds it. So he jumps in his car.
Yeah.
And he's running home to tell all his friends. So a cop stops him for speeding. So this guy, you know, looks to the side. He asks him for his ID. Gives him the Leonardo DiCaprio's passport.
Yeah.
So the cop goes to his police car, calls up the sergeant, and he says, "Hey, tell me, the Titanic sank or burnt?"
I don't get it. He's the act. This guy.
This guy is Ethiopian. Ethiopians are black.
Right.
So Leonardo DiCaprio is a white. Blonde white.
Right.
The Titanic was the movie.
And he believes that the movie is the real thing.
Right. Did it sink or did it burn?
So the Amaratsis is Mishneitstaden. The Amaratsis is from Ethiopia, and the Amaratsis is even Gressa from the police officer. It's a very good joke. It's a very good joke.
All right.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Thank you, good night.
All right, good night, good night.
That's all, like, you know, the story of...